Hello friends, I'm your host Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all 7 continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. So, today I'm answering questions from potential Royal Marines recruits. And the first one is, what's the first year like after commando training? Or after your Royal Marines training? Basically, when you've earned the green berry and you've gone to your commando unit. Now, it's a really good question. I went to 4-2 Commando, which is just outside Plymouth. All of us in our troop, we got our drafts that we put our names down for. And it's great when you leave Limpston because you leave wearing your green beret. Well, I left, you know, dressed more like this. Some people did actually leave wearing them, which I thought they looked a bit like knobs, really. Just saying it. But you know, you leave Limpston with a massive sense of pride, right? You've passed the toughest military training in the world. You've nailed it. You finally got there, whether you've been back trooped or whether you passed out as an original. Your family's all been there to, you know, cheer you along. And that's great. But then you get your long weekend, or you maybe get 3 weeks of leave, whatever it might be. You have to go and join. Turn that light around a bit, sorry. You have to go and join your commander unit. And then it's role reversal, right? Because now you're at the bottom of the pile again. Even when you've got your green berry, trained Marines seem like up here in terms of respect, right? And I guess they kind of are. The Marines does work very much on, like, you know, if you've done your time, you've done your time. You turn up at your commander unit, you report to the guard room. And this is where it becomes interesting, because the corporal behind the desk in the guard room went, all right, I see you made it. And it took me a second to realise it was one of our corporals from training. I say it took me a second to realise because he'd left our training team after the first month or something. So I hadn't seen him for, you know, 7, maybe 8 months. And of course, your first reactions go, oh, hello, corporal. And then they'll go, no, you don't say that. No, you don't say that stuff in a unit, not to corporals. It's all first name terms. Sergeant is sergeant. And obviously, colour sergeant is colours and so forth. But corporals it's your first name terms, right? So that was that. You can get moved into your grot, that's your room. If you're living aboard, that means if you're living on the camp, you might be an outlier, which means you live at home if you live nearby or you rent a flat or something. And it's interesting. I'm just going to talk here, folks, otherwise I trip over my words. But the things that come to mind there is, first of all, we're on rear party. All the unit was away on exercise. They were in Norway. So we rocked up to pretty much an empty camp, bar, say, for example, 50 blokes. And you don't see all those 50 at any one time because the guard is done on shifts, right? You do one day guard, 2 days off. So the unit was quite empty. We got in our room, and when the unit came back, that room immediately got smashed up. I was put in support company, basically, I was put in support company accommodation. A support company are renowned for being nutcases, right? So all those heavy weapons they fire. And when they came back off exercise, I'm asleep one night, and these guys come in and they're pissing on the other bloke's bed, ripping the doors off the lockers, smashing the lockers over. And it's kind of okay, that behavior, once in a while, but it's just not for everybody, right? You know what I'm saying? You just get on and deal with it because you want to be a Marine. But when I moved off camp, I'm going to say that was, it's quite nice to live off camp. You haven't got to put up with any of that stuff. When you live off camp, you get an outlier's locker room. So you get a locker in an outlier's room, and that's yours then. And you put all your uniform and your ironing, your iron or whatever in it. And then you get changed every day, hop on your bike or hop in your car or motorbike, and off you go home. We went for a run. So when we're on this rear party, you still fall in, not on your day off after guard, but on the other days, you fall in the morning, you basically do PT. And then after that PT, the corporal will say, right, fellas, just fuck off home. That's it. And you're like, yeah. But that first run, we set off at such a pace, which probably wasn't that much of a pace, but after 8 months at Limpston, my body was drained. I was physically drained. Probably been eating too much meat and carbohydrate and not enough fresh green leafy vegetables, but I was drained. We got a mile down the road and I realized I couldn't keep up. I was just shattered. Just it was hard. These guys were all running like spring chickens, right? So I was like, oh, I'm just gonna. We passed the Tesco's. Well, I'm just gonna go and use the toilet. I didn't use the toilet. I would just walk back to the camp. And it brought back all those feelings of, am I really doing the right thing? Not feelings of worthlessness, but just like, oh my God, what am I sort of doing? I'm not sure how that energy came back to me, if I was honest. I never had another problem on another run. But yeah, that particular one I did. That was it. When the unit came back, we immediately started training for combat, the Northern Ireland conflict. And you get treated pretty much with respect. I mean, you've earned a green beret, right? But for some people, that don't mean shit. And they're gonna try and bully you no matter what. And you get some quite intimidating blokes in the Marines, I think I said this before, you don't want to start becoming a victim of bullying. You're better just to launch yourself at someone and smack them in the face as hard as you can. And if they beat you up, just take it, because then I promise they'll leave you alone after that. If they know you're going to fight back, they'll leave you alone, right? Bullying the world over, isn't it? But yeah, most people treat you with respect. It's fine. But out of every sort of 30 people, I found you got one that didn't like you for whatever reason. I mean, I'm not saying this is the case with everybody, but that was my experience. And depending what rank they are, depends whether you can, if it's a fellow Marine, it's like being in prison. You get provoked, you've got to fight, you've just got to fight back. Hopefully it won't happen to you. Maybe times have changed, maybe things are easier. But yeah, I say that because that's probably on your mind, isn't it? If you're joining the Marines, what's it like when you get to a commander unit? But just remember, everybody gets through that, right? I spent 7 years in the Marines. That problem popped up now and again, But like I say, because I wasn't afraid to face it, it keeps everyone at arm's length from you, right? And most blokes are actually just really nice. Going to Northern Ireland was a real eye-opener. It was, for the first few days, nothing happened. I'm not going to talk all about Northern Ireland here because it's the case for the story for another day. But when you first go out the gate, you're in a British city and you're carrying an SA-80 rifle, right? You're carrying basically a machine gun, and you're walking down the main street. Sometimes you walk down the middle of the cars in a major British or Irish city, obviously, depending on your perspective. And that's quite an eye-opener. And then when things started going down, when things started going bang, when Jock on patrol behind me got shot 3 times, and then the sniper turned his sights on me, that's where it started getting interesting. And that it starts to hit home to you then that you're a Royal Marine, you're a Royal Marines commando, and you are, you're in combat, you're doing the business, right? You're on active service. Yeah, just one of those feelings that just kind of a mix of the surreal, do you know what I'm saying? After Ireland, well, you go on leave, you get quite generous leave in the military. And I don't think leave is ever felt the way it did when you're at Limpston. When you're at Limpston, you get that real sense of pride, don't you, going home. You can't wait to see all your mates and just be a Marine around them, right? And that reminds me, I was going to talk about the violence because I had this conversation with someone the other day. But yeah, training, you're really proud. When you're in a commando, that's kind of tamped down a bit. You're kind of going home on leave, but I live near the barracks anyway, so it wasn't such a massive thing. But going on leave was always fun. Just getting off work because you're paid every day, right? You're paid 24/7, 365. So the more leave you can get, the better. So I'll talk about spare time and the violence. The reason I mention the violence is you get into the drinking culture. That first, well, the early initial stages of being a Marine, you're going downtown, and of course they've indoctrinated you to think you're superior to civilians, and you really do. You kind of feel that, you've been, I don't know if brainwashed is the right word, but they've got to get you to feel this way, right? So that you won't think twice about killing people in a war zone. And you'll be in a pub and a civilian will say the wrong word. And not this is not everybody, the Marines is a representation of all different walks of life, and not everybody's, got that propensity for violence against a random stranger. But you getting quite a fair amount of fights. Some people just went out downtown just to bang people out, and they would bang out three civvies in one go, like bang, bang, bang. It's quite extreme when you think about it. I tended to get in a situation where I'd just get drunk, and if a civilian said something wrong, you just go in for the fight then. And don't think it matters being a Marine. If you're really drunk, you're kind of gonna lose the fight anyway, and we quite often did. Norway, that was interesting. Quite exciting. I think Norway's the first time I'd been to a snowy sort of country. And I trained myself to ski on one of these plastic ski slopes before I went. Of course, it's a different kind of skiing. But it did help to kind of get the basics of what skiing is into your head. And when you're in Norway, you often get the weekends off to go downhill skiing. You go to your nearest, a bus will be laid on, and you'll go to your nearest ski resort. So I was, ours was Lillehammer, which is an Olympic downhill. And yeah, it's exciting. You get there, you land, you get on buses, and then suddenly you're driving through this thick snow. And they've got poles in the roads just to show you where the road is, because the snow is just everywhere. The drivers follow these poles. The buses don't slow down because they have these little metal spikes in the tyres. So you're thinking, how come we're not sliding off the road? This guy's doing like 70 down this road. And it was good. Yeah, Norway was a fascinating experience. Again, I'll talk more about it in another video, but this is the kind of general overall discussion. Was it cold? No, as you're going to hear a million times, it's a different type of cold. There were a couple of times it was a bit bitter when the blizzards come in, but you train during the week. The weekend is excessive drinking. I'll talk about drinking culture in another video. Or it's for going downhill skiing, or it's for just putting your military skis on, grabbing a thermos flask in your day pack, plus your safety gear, and going out with a mate and just going ski touring. That's great fun. The first time you put a Bergen on and skis, I thought it was a joke. I seriously thought someone was winding me up. You got an £80 Bergen on a pair of skis. I couldn't see how it was possible. The first thing you do is just bang, slip over on your ass. You get up, bang, you slip over on your ass. You get up, bang. You get the impression. You get to the first slope, even if it's really gentle, and all the trained marine, the Arctic trained marines are just flying down this slope, and you're there putting your sticks in, and suddenly, whoop, you got it, bang. You're on your ass. And but there is hope. You get better at it. You learn to lighten your Bergen. So you've literally, you got a toothbrush and a spare pair of boxer shorts, right? And, you know, not a hell of a lot more. And then your skiing gets better. In the end, I could just ski along without any problem at all. We used to go off with our ski instructor, our corporal, MSI, they call them, military ski instructor. We used to find basically cliffs, and over the edge of that cliff, you'll have a big buildup of snow. It's called a cornice. We used to go cornice jumping. So our instructor would go, right, fellas, no balls, no blue chips. And we would just ski off these cliffs. And of course, you fall maybe 20, 30 feet, but you're landing in soft snow on a slight slope anyway. The idea was you try and keep your balance, but we very often didn't. And yeah, Norway was good. You do the ice breaking drills. Watch my video on ice breaking drills. Overall, it's very tough when you're there. When you're young and you're not kind of hardened yet, Northern Ireland was easy, you know, great fun. Easy, great fun. Yes, we had a lad killed, which obviously wasn't nice, but overall, you know, I really enjoyed it. They always say you should be afraid in war, shouldn't they? Don't they? But I honestly never was. Norway was just, you know, it was hard in the beginning. When they pile equipment on you, like you might have the Carl Gustaf, the 84 millimeter mortar. Back in the day, we had these tent sheets that used to get frozen, and everybody put their tent sheets together and they would leave them together, this frozen massive tent, and one of you would carry it, and it was insane. For a guy like me, I was barely 10 stone. It was just ridiculous. Better to give it to one of the 16 or 18 stone guys, right? So yeah, so that's Norway. I was quite happy that at 4-2 commando, you're going to do Ireland and you're going to do Norway, right? At least back then. So I was happy when I did that. I put in for a ship and I got on an aircraft carrier, and then began one of the best years of my life. So I hope that helps you. Hope it answered the question, what's your first year out of training like? We had guys that had left by this time. They just did 1 year. I think the return of service is 2.5 years now. But back then, I think back then it was 18 months return of service and 18 months notice. So already by this time, you get guys that are thinking about leaving, right? But overall, it was great. One thing that is shocking, though, about being in the Marines is the amount of people that die. It's fairly prolific in proportion to your civilian counterparts. We had one of my mates who I was on this rear party with, I mentioned, went home on leave, got chased by the police, pissing around, jumped off a roof and landed on a spike, and he was dead. Simo was a very nice chap I served with in Northern Ireland. He went home on leave and was joining the dual carriageway on his motorbike, and bang, he was dead. There was a couple of lads went to Thailand. They were train surfing, got up on the roof of the train basically in Thailand, didn't see a bridge coming, a tunnel. They were dead. One lad was killed at the end of our training in a car crash home on leave. It happens, and it just seems to happen quite. Maybe it's just because you know so many young men, right? Maybe that's a normal ratio, but yeah, it just seems like it's a lot. What happens then is you have an auction. You have a kit auction, which traditionally has been done in the Navy to raise money for that sailor or that Marine's family. Perhaps that's something else I can talk more about. So yeah, I'm going to shut up. Thank you for watching. Any questions, put them below. And yeah, go and be awesome. Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.